Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had an enjoyable 4th of July weekend. Yesterday, the 5th of July, on Monday, yesterday was a federal holiday. I guess people are used to having the 4th of July off. But because it was on a Sunday this year, take the Monday off after that.
Yeah, that makes me believe next year, whenever the 4th of July falls on a Monday, we should have Tuesday off.
So you want Monday and Tuesday off?
Yeah, if the 4th falls on a Monday, we should have Tuesday off. Since the 4th was on a Sunday, we had Monday off. We should continue that tradition.
Well, I don't know if that's continuing the tradition. That's
because it gives you a chance to get over the hangover that you have for the 4th.
Well, I like the way you're thinking, but I don't think it works that way. That's all I'm saying, Coleman. So, last week, a government report came out, and it said there have been 144 incidents with UFOs, unidentified flying objects. The source of just one of those was identified. Now, that's since 2004. Over the last 17 years. The report was fairly vague. But it said there were 144 incidents with unidentified flying objects. And it got a lot of people saying, you see, we're not the only ones. And then after that report came out, some big-time UFO believers started expanding on that report. They were saying, there were aliens in some of them. But the problem is there was no mention of aliens in the 144 UFO reports. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence released a report on June 25th about the government's findings regarding unidentified aerial phenomena or UFOs, unidentified flying objects. The report came years after the New York Times published a United States Navy videos of UFOs, which the Department of Defense authorized the release of in 2020. Following the release of the June 25th report, some people said, or at least claimed, the aliens were one explanation for the unidentified aerial phenomena. But the problem is, the government report made no mention of aliens or extraterrestrials. But it also did not identify a source for nearly all of the UFOs. There was one source they figured out, but in the rest of them, They didn't identify a source. And no, there were no aliens. So even though our government admits there were 144 instances in the last, well, it would be 16 years because the report came out in 2020. So from 2004 to 2020, 144 instances where they're claiming UFOs, but in not one of them did they see an alien.
And you said in one of those reports they found out what the object actually was. They were able to figure it out. In the other 143, they couldn't. That's how you said that?
Yeah.
So that one wouldn't be a UFO then if they figured it out, because the U stands for unidentified. So if they figured it out, it wouldn't be unidentified anymore.
Well, of the 144 reports, the task force was able to identify just one unidentified aerial phenomena. And remember, this is the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force. In that one, they concluded was a large deflating balloon.
Oh, the weather balloon one?
I don't know about weather balloon. It just said large deflating balloon. The other 143, not explained.
I like how they changed it to phenomenon instead of objects, because a phenomenon could be it could be anything from the weather to an actual object. So I think that was clever how they said phenomenon instead of object.
But when this report recently came out, there were some people, like I said, they expanded this report.
Of course they did.
And they said, hey, not only UFOs, but aliens too. But no, there has been no aliens seen. We're admitting that there's UFOs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if one was on the ground? So that would be an unidentified grounded object.
Right.
And aliens were out. What do you think aliens look like? Do you think they look like the aliens we always see on cartoons with the really big heads?
It's hard to say. That's what most people believe they are, but they would be aliens. We wouldn't know. There are so many different animals. Think about all the animal species we have on Earth and how weird they look, from octopuses to snails and stuff. I couldn't imagine what an alien would actually look like. Do you believe that they're out there, John? Do you believe aliens exist?
I don't know. I mean, I've always said when it came to UFOs,
mm-hmm.
I mean, planet Earth is just a small part of this massive galaxy. So to think we're the only ones walking around flying airplanes and such, that would kind of be a bit, I don't know,
selfish.
Wouldn't we be thinking, boy oh boy, we're
Yeah, when I consider how vast the universe actually is, I do believe in the possibilities that there is life on other planets. I just don't think it's the way we present it in movies. I don't think we're being visited by other alien species from other planets. I don't think there's alien spacecrafts. I don't think there's hiding alien bodies in Area 51. I don't believe people are being abducted by aliens, you know? So, I mean, I do believe in up right there. We always assume that aliens are somehow more advanced than us if they did exist, like they have better technology or they could do things we can't. But I'm quite sure if we did find alien life form out there, it'd be like bacteria or maybe some viruses, some single cell organisms.
Well, we also think not only that aliens have better technology than us, but we also think they look a hell of a lot different than we do.
But they should.
Well, I mean, you don't think any alien would come down with long hair and a beard?
No, I don't think.
Tattoos?
No, I don't think aliens would look like Kal-El or Superman, like look like humans, but just from another planet. If there is life on other planets, it's going to be completely different from what you and I look like, because I'm looking at the animal species and how many different weird-looking creatures they have on Earth already. I could all imagine what kind of creatures they have out there on other planets.
All right, coming up on the show, we have a lot to get to this morning. A man breaks his penis during sex.
Ow.
You wonder why you don't see that more often. Also, do you eat Ritz crackers? Have you noticed the edges of a Ritz cracker? they're like that for a specific reason, and that reason is blowing people's minds. And it was a good 4th of July, thanks to an actor here in New Orleans. Stay tuned for those reports and more here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Yesterday was a federal holiday, the Monday after the 4th of July. And in the French Quarter here in New Orleans, there were a bunch of people that were dressed as traffic cones, and they were all walking down the street. They were going from bar to bar. Come to find out, it was not a Mardi Gras crew, but they called themselves the Mystic Crew of Conus. It's a Mardi Gras season marching group. And they took to the hot streets yesterday of the French Quarter. And they were going from bar to bar. But they were dressed as they were all orange. They looked like parking cones, because they wanted to bring attention to the fact that our streets are filled with potholes. It's a pretty neat idea. They came up with this idea. You know when they came up with this idea? When they saw the giant traffic cone in the Lower Garden District. We talked about that on our show. One day, people woke up and there was this massive traffic cone. We had a picture of it on our website and said, boy, that can't be coming from City Hall. I've never seen a traffic cone that big. And that traffic cone was over a big pothole. And it was there for a week or two, and then all of a sudden, it disappeared.
Right, but didn't it come back with Christmas or was it Easter? One of those holidays, they brought it back. I think it was Easter when it brought the traffic.
No, it was Easter when it disappeared, and there was another cone there. That led some people to believe that it was spiritual,
it was a resurrection cone.
Yeah, like that new cone had something to do with the old cone. So these folks came up with this idea when they saw that, and they decided to have it on the 5th of July because they started near Waldenburg Park right on the river, and they decided to clean up some of the garbage that was left from the people watching fireworks.
Okay.
On the 4th of July. So it started out with them picking up a little bit of garbage, and then they decided to do the bar hop from bar to bar, different bars in the French Quarter. And as they were walking down the streets, they were yelling, "Hail potholes!"
No, it's good that they were actually picking up trash too, because originally if they were just trying to bring awareness to potholes by dressing like cones, trust me, everyone is aware. We don't need any, we know what's going on with the potholes. The idea is, can we actually get somebody to do something about them? You know, we don't have to be aware about the potholes. We know. Trust me, we know. Especially if you drive in the city.
Well, they did this, Coleman, hoping that people that mattered, City Hall, the idiot box, would notice. I don't know.
I don't think anyone. I mean, it's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the effort. But I think the most effective one we heard wasn't from New Orleans. It was from Australia. That guy who was spray painting penises around the potholes in Australia. And that forced the government to go out and try to fix the potholes because they wanted to get rid of the penises that were spray painted on the street. I remember you and I were talking about that, but we never went and bought that can of paint, did we, and go do the thing.
Yeah, and when we did talk about that on the show, there were some funny pictures of that as well. We put those on the website at the time. I don't know how that would fly here in New Orleans if you went by the potholes and spray painted penises around them. I don't know if that.
Didn't Domino's offer to fill up the potholes for a little while, but the city stopped them? Didn't Domino's have this deal, hey, if you order a pizza and there's potholes on your street, we'll come to your street and we'll fill up the potholes. And they had that little deal going on. But what happened was the city stopped Domino's from coming.
I remember that Domino's promotion.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the city stepping in and stopping.
That's what I thought had happened. I may be wrong, but I remember that as well. But like whether you dress up like a cone, whether a piece of delivery service is offering to do something about it, or you spray penises on a pothole, I don't think the city's in a rush to fill in the potholes, and that's very discouraging.
Yeah, one onlooker said, it's a protest against the mayor's failure to keep up the streets of New Orleans. I applaud these people. I saw what they were doing, and I wasn't sure they could pull it off. I bet the mayor doesn't pay a damn bit of attention to it.
That's what I'm coming across with. I don't think she cares.
And the guy's name who founded this, the crew of CONUS, it's John Traynor. And he said he accepts that the group might not have that much power over the pothole situation. But he says, do the streets need repair? Yeah, they do. That's obvious. Can the group influence it? Are we focused on that? I think that's a secondary interest.
But the first one being the bar hopping part, right?
Well, that's
I mean, I would join the crew of CONUS just for that. I know probably we're not going to affect anybody in the city trying to motivate them to fill in the potholes, but at least we can bar hop.
Yeah, I mean,
the bright side.
It was very hot yesterday on July 5th, and to get people to dress as cones. Some of the women, I'm looking at pictures, cool orange dresses that they had, but they wanted to make a bit of a point, and that's just another group of people here in our city. I thought that was pretty cool. Coming up on the show, got a story about a man who broke his penis during sex. Also, Will Smith saved the 4th of July fireworks here in New Orleans this year. I remember last week we were talking about it when the city announced no fireworks. They didn't have the money. Well, you know who had the money? The actor, Will Smith. We have a lot more to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. A stolen Pablo Picasso painting has been recovered in Athens, Greece. The priceless work of art was found in bushes. At least that's what the kid who came home with it told his mother. Whoever could steal something like that, why would they put it in bushes?
They probably couldn't fence it.
That's see what you're saying, getting it over a fence.
Ah.
I see what you're saying there, Coleman. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the Joe Show. J-O here with you. And something that made massive news over the last few days, over the holiday weekend, is the fastest female sprinter in the United States will not be sprinting, at least in the 100 meters, in the Olympics that are coming up in Tokyo, Japan. Sha'Carri Richardson is her name. And for 1 year, she ran at LSU. She was, I think, her freshman year. She went to LSU, and she kicked butt in Baton Rouge. And here she is now, 3 years later, the fastest female sprinter in the United States. But she was banned for 30 days because she tested positive for marijuana.
Smoke weed every day.
She also fully took responsibility for that. She didn't make an excuse. She didn't blame someone else. She said her biological mother died. And I guess to help her deal with that, she smoked some weed. And she also said that she knew the rules. She knew what she was doing. Now, there are two different reactions to this. One reaction is, how could she do this? You know, she's been training her whole life to get here to the Olympics. She's the fastest female sprinter in the United States. She knows, and she admitted she knows what would have happened to her if she tested positive for marijuana, yet she still did it. So how could she do that? And then the other train of thought is, well, people felt bad for her because her biological mother died, and plus, marijuana doesn't help you run faster. You know, that's not one of the drugs that people take to run faster. And then some people are saying the Olympic Committee now, because marijuana is legal in 19 states in America, plus the District of Columbia, that the Olympic Committee should change their rule. Marijuana should not be on the list of drugs that get someone banned for 30 days from the Olympics. And because she's been banned for 30 days, she can't run in the 100 meters. But then the 30-day ban, and what's after the 30 days in the Olympics, is the 4x100 relay, which she could still be a part of. She probably will be a part of it if she's the fastest sprinter in the United States, which she is. Coleman, when you saw this, what train of thought did you have?
Well, she took full responsibility, and I appreciate her accountability. It's one of the things we talk about being libertarian is being responsible for your own actions. She knew what she did was wrong. She knew she was taking a risk. And even though it's sad that she's not going to be able to participate in the dash, you know, she's holding herself accountable. And it kind of goes to show me that I think her story should be an argument for why marijuana should be legal, because she's the fastest woman in America, and we didn't stop her from being the fastest woman. Like, what are the negative? If the fastest woman in the world can smoke weed and still be faster than almost anyone, Michael Phelps, the fastest swimmer of all time, he smokes weed. So when you realize that these professional athletes can still smoke weed and still be faster than everybody else on the planet, how harmful is weed really?
Well, they're not professional, technically. They're still Olympians.
That's, to me, about being Olympians is better than being professional.
Well, you get technically, you have to be an amateur to be in the Olympics. Text us. I can see, I feel bad for her because her, and it kept saying her biological mother died. Usually when someone's mother dies, they just say their mother dies.
You might have a stepmother or something.
Yeah, maybe she had another woman who was in her life in that role as a mother. And then she, Shikari Richardson, slammed the quote-unquote perfect people who were commenting on her being banned from the Olympics for 30 days, saying, "I'm glad I'm not one of them." The people commenting on it. Look, again, I could see how you could feel either way about this. To me, it's pretty mind-boggling how someone could train literally years for this moment, and then do something so soon before this moment, knowing that it would stop her from doing what she's been training to do and planning to do for all of this time.
Yeah, but that was a coping mechanism for dealing with the death in the family too. You also had to consider that as well.
That's true. It makes you wonder how many times she smoked weed.
If I had to guess, I would say she smoked weed a lot.
Why would you say that?
She just seems like the type that's really comfortable with, like, she's not one of those perfect people. You know what I mean? Like, she probably smokes weed. She probably drinks. She's just a regular person.
Text us if you want. 504-260-9595 if you have an opinion on that. I mean, I feel bad for her because her biological mother died, and that's how she dealt with it. But and we'll see if she's going to run in the 4x100 relay. The Olympics are coming up in Tokyo, Japan. All right, coming up next, it's this morning's Big O. We've got to do that. Still got to tell you about the man who broke his penis during sex. Hang out with us. A lot to get to on the show this morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's a little after 7, it's that time of our show where we do this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Late last week, before the holiday weekend, I remember, I think it was Thursday on our show, I mentioned that I was pretty upset because there was going to be no 4th of July fireworks over the river this year. And that would have been 2 years in a row because we didn't have it last year because of the pandemic. And I remember saying on the show, isn't there a business or somebody could pick up the tab? I mean, how much could it cost? I mean, the city of New Orleans said they're broke. That's a broken record. And then Friday, 2 days before the 4th of July, news broke that the actor, Will Smith, picked up the tab. And that tab was around $100,000.
Oh, that's chump change to Will.
He's probably got that in his sock, Coleman. And by the way, Will Smith was in the area because he's filming his latest movie here. It's called Emancipation. And he was filming that movie in Georgia. He moved the production out of Georgia because he wasn't happy with their voter laws. So he's in the area, and he saw what was going on, and he said, "Yeah, $100,000, let's do it." Him and his company. He has a production company called Westbrook. And they picked up the tab. Them along with the Riverfront Marketing Group. And because of that, I mean, he saved it at the 11th hour. The Go Forth on the River took place Sunday night here in the city. And at 9 o'clock, the fireworks went off, and I got a chance to see them from where I live. I was going to call you, Coleman, but I
was hungover. I was drunk.
4th of July night.
Yeah. You know, my prediction was I thought some private sector people was going to just get their own little barge, buy their own little fireworks, and just go on the river and set off their own fireworks. I didn't think they was going to go through the city or go through the actual Go Forth on a River.
I don't know if that would have been legal.
I know it probably wouldn't have been legal, but I still thought somebody was going to do it anyway, you know, if Will Smith hadn't stepped up. You know, this is the second time Will Smith has saved Independence Day?
Ah.
I think he did it the first time in 1996. Him, Jeff Goldblum, and Bill Pullman.
A good movie.
Yeah.
Well, he did it in real life this time. And I thought that was very, very cool of Will Smith to say, there's something we can do here. Let me make a phone call. Let me get my wallet. And he took care of that. You know, I never knew how much money it cost to put on that fireworks display on the 4th of July with the fireworks going off over the river.
Yeah, it was me and the traffic guy Josh were talking about that, and he thought it would be more around $35,000. So he lowballed it. $100,000.
Well, think about it for a second. Josh, our traffic guy, when he said $35,000, you know, maybe that's how much the fireworks cost. So the company that puts on the display, They got to go buy the fireworks.
Right.
So they're not making $100,000, because the fireworks, if the whole show costs $100,000, the fireworks cost, I don't know exactly how much that amount of fireworks would cost, but then the company, they have to buy the fireworks, and then they go, and then they set everything up, and they pull off the show.
Then they have to get the permits and everything.
Yeah, I'm sure there wasn't a problem there. The only problem that we had heard was the city of New Orleans said that they couldn't afford it. They didn't have $100,000.
So now it makes me wonder how many pet owners are upset with Will Smith for funding the whole fireworks display and that upset their animals at the house, because that's what I've been getting on Facebook all weekend. The fireworks, stop with the fireworks. My dog is hiding under the bed. My dog is in the closet. My dog is in the bathroom. Stop with the fireworks.
You get that every year.
Yeah.
And I think dogs freak out more when they hear fireworks than cats do, because I got a big, fat, black cat, El Gato Negro. And he was pretty chilled out on the 4th of July.
I've never seen your cat excited about anything. It's just so chill and relaxed. I don't think anything scares El Gato Negro.
No, and he purrs a lot. He's kind of in his own world. I don't think everyday problems seem to affect him like they do the rest of us. So I thought that was neat, because that would have been 2 years in a row that we didn't have that. And it was great to see so many people out and about looking up. Their heads were up. We usually see a lot of people walking around with their heads down. But it was just cool that we saw the streets getting back to normal.
Captain Bosco on the West Bank says, you also have to take into account that the boat that pushes the barge out of the barge and the other expenses that are included in the fireworks. And he also says, Will Smith is a stand-up fellow.
You're right about that, Captain Bosco. And he's right about both of those things. I mean, if it cost $100,000 total for that, you got to buy the fireworks. And like Captain Bosco just said, there has to be people that get the barge out and all of that. So it was great to see, because I know other areas around here, they did their fireworks. I know they had them in Jefferson Parish, and I know they had them in other places as well. So it was good that the city of New Orleans wasn't left out. But that's something when one guy could pay for something that an entire city could not afford. Yeah, that's something when you think about it, and I just think it's great. And I mean, Will Smith has always been. I mean, when has Will Smith ever done anything that pissed people off? He's always been for one of the biggest names in Hollywood. He's always been a good guy.
Yeah, not too many celebrity scandals with him, huh? Nope. When you think about it.
No, when you think of some actors, but Will Smith, good job. And boy, we'll never forget that. We'll never forget what he did here in New Orleans for the people here.
Yeah, even though the city's broke, that doesn't mean our listeners have to be, because it's starting again. They have a chance to win $1,000 because we're making it rain. On Buy95.7, just listen for the cash keyword and text that cash keyword to 72881.
Yeah, that's coming up like now. Good luck winning that grand from Buy95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Buy95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know whose birthday it is today? Happy 86th birthday to the Dalai Lama. About that, you want to send him a gift, he could use pants. Every picture I've always seen of the Dalai Lama, any video, you never seen him with pants on. I think that's because he's a minimalist.
And you gotta let your chakras free.
He's always been that way, Coleman. But the Dalai Lama turns 86 today. And anybody who's got a "the" in front of their name has got to be cool. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. The Cars there. You know, one thing that's unique about the Cars, they're one of the few bands who made it big that had two lead singers. Rick Ocasek was one of the singers, and their bass player, Ben Orr, sang a bunch of their songs as well. I guess those two guys were the main songwriters. They picked the band. We're gonna do this one. That's who would sing the song. Whoever would write the song. But you don't see that very often with successful rock bands. Usually there's just one lead singer in a band. But the Kaz from Boston, they had two. Boy, I saw this story and it made me put my hand over my privates. Man breaks penis during sex. Made medical history. This guy made medical history, Coleman, but he's not the first man to break his penis doing sex. He's a frisky fella from the United Kingdom, and he snapped his penis lengthwise while he was doing sex. That's what made history. They've never seen a vertical snap. They've seen horizontal snaps. But this is the first time that they've ever seen a vertical snap. Medics report the romper's penis buckled against his partner's perineum.
Oh, ouch.
That's the part of the body that connects the private parts.
Yeah.
The old perineum. He suffered a broken penis.
So, not only do you have to go to the hospital because you suffered a major injury, you are now known as that guy. That's because he's the first person. He's going down in history. I'm quite sure when he got the chick's phone number and he was planning to smash, he did not intend to go down in the medical history books. That was not his plan. He was trying to get him some. Well, now he's in the medical records for being the first person out of all the billions of human beings that ever existed. He's the first guy to ever get his penis snapped long ways. Ouch.
Yeah, well, you're right. He's going down in history, but that night he wasn't going down. Now, this is what I read, Coleman. Up to 88.5% of penile fractures occur during intercourse.
That's understandable.
They did a 20-year retrospective study. And they concluded that when it comes to the most dangerous positions where this could happen, doggy style is the most dangerous. And it's the man on top.
Oh, I thought it was going to be reverse cowgirl. All right.
Would be the second dangerous. Yeah, I would think the man on his back, if the woman was on top, would be the either most dangerous or second most dangerous.
Now, didn't Dennis Rodman say he didn't broke his multiple times? Like, he had multiple penis breaks in his groupie career?
I don't know. Did he say that? Because I don't follow much of what Dennis Rodman says.
Dennis Rodman was doing an interview, and it was a YouTube video I saw with Dennis Rodman, and he said he had broke his penis four different times trying to do sex. And one of them was understandable. He was trying to dive into the woman. Like, he was in the back of the hotel room, and he tried to jump into it. Of course, you're going to break it then. But then the other three times, there's some weird cases of him trying to do weird stuff with very aggressive women.
Doctors said what was unusual about this case, Coleman.
Other than the vertical snap?
Well, that was, but he only experienced minor swelling, and there was no popping sound. Like, you know, when you break a bone,
mm-hmm.
when I was younger, I broke my arm. You hear it.
Yeah.
You hear that. You hear a snap. You're like, uh-oh. I just heard something. Here, this guy didn't hear anything.
Well, that would stand to reason because even though we call it that, there's technically no bones in that area. There's no bones about it. It is really just cartilage and vascular tissue. So, yeah, you wouldn't hear a bone snap since there's no bone there.
Well, there was a bone there. And the rolling of the skin and other symptoms normally associated with phallic fractures. His erection also faded gradually, unlike most whose phalluses go flaccid immediately after the snap.
Were they able to get this guy correct? Were they able to fix this problem?
Yes.
Good. Great. All right.
Yeah. All
right. That's a medical victory.
And not only did they, and he had to get in there pretty quickly. He knew he was injured. And so he said, get me to the doctor. And when he went in there, he explained what was happening. And
penis.
Not only did they fix it, he started doing sex again in 6 months.
Oh, no, that's too long. I mean, don't get me wrong. Victory. Six months?
Imagine being the first man in history to break your penis vertically doing sex. And, I mean, the doctors had never seen that before. And he's doing sex again in 6 months.
I guess that's a good thing, but just the idea you can't do anything for 6 months, be careful out there, guys. Please be careful. Not because, not just the breaking point, but the fact is, if you do break your junk, you have to wait 6 months before you can smash a chick again.
And his surgery was erective.
Okay, John.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, some people, he didn't have a choice here, you know, I mean, obviously. And it went off without a hitch. The thing, they had to fix it within 24 hours of him mangling it.
But that's cool, doing something for the first time in history, and the doctors were still able to figure it out within 24 hours.
That's what I mean. And I know, sure, you're thinking 6 months, but at the same time, I mean, after the injury he had, I'm sure the thought of never again probably, popped into his head, but I don't. Yeah, so anyways, some good news here, and this does happen. But it usually happens horizontally. And doctors have seen that before, and then they can fix that without a problem. This is the first time in history that they've seen a man's penis break vertically. And
so it makes me wonder who's the first person that's going to break it diagonally.
No, that's a good question. Hey, coming up next on the show, I was checking out some digital music sales, and I was surprised when I saw what the top albums that are selling were last week. When do you hear this? Coming up next, you still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. And not that long ago, Coleman and I were talking about on the show, if music is good, it's always going to be good. And you would think it would always sell fairly well. I mean, you look at the classic rock we play. We play songs that are 20, 25, 30, 35 years old. Songs written a long time ago. And they're still very, very popular. I noticed over the holiday weekend, the best-selling albums on iTunes. Last week, do you know what the best-selling album on iTunes was? Queen's Greatest Hits from 1981.
Really?
Think about that for a second. Here we are in 2021. And an album that came out 40 years ago sold more copies than any other album in the iTunes.
Here's why I find that ironic. I was just binge watching a TV show over the weekend, and since it was Hulu, there's commercials in the middle. One of the commercials that was in heavy rotation was their selling Queen album, the 17 songs, Queen's Greatest Hits. And I was sitting there wondering, like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Now you're telling me that it's the number one selling album on iTunes right now?
Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy. That's a crazy coincidence. I wonder what's going on with Queen. Did they make news that we didn't hear about or something? Or is just that the music is that damn good?
Some great music. But it's not just Queen. Joni Mitchell had the number two selling album last week, and that album came out 10 years before the Queen album came out. So there's an album 50 years old, that album, and a few weeks ago that Joni Mitchell album called Blue was the number one selling album on iTunes. That thing just keeps selling and selling and selling.
Well, usually when we hear about classic rock topping the charts, it's usually associated with an event or something that happened, like one of the songs from that band played in a movie that just came out, or some YouTube or TikTok video got real popular and everybody wants to know where that song that they used for the video came out or something like that. So I'm assuming maybe the songs that were in those two albums were featured in some summer blockbuster movies that came out recently and they were rediscovered.
I don't know. Creedence Clearwater Revival. They had the number 14 selling album. And not just the number 14 selling album last week. They had four singles that were in the top 30 or 40. So yeah, I think what you said plays some part in that.
Yeah, like this text says, as Ellie says, the Bohemian Rhapsody movie. The thing is, that movie came out, what, 2 or 3 years ago, right? Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, so that wouldn't explain it.
We see it sometimes when a song is featured in a popular commercial, a television commercial. We see it sometimes when an older song is in a popular television show. I always think about the last episode of The Sopranos. In the last scene in the history of that television show, Tony puts a quarter in the jukebox and plays the Journey song, Don't Stop Believin', when they're in the restaurant, in the diner there. And then I remember reading not long after that, Steve Perry, who wasn't in Journey anymore, he hasn't been in Journey in a long time, the singer, he was wondering why all of a sudden that song was selling so much, and someone said, you don't watch The Sopranos, do you? he said, because they played that song in the last scene of that television show.
Speaking of which, have you seen a trailer for The Many Saints of Newark yet?
Yes, that came out last
week. Excited about it? I know you're a big Sopranos guy.
Yeah, we have that trailer on our website. Yeah, that's coming out later this year.
And we've seen it. We've seen that with Fleetwood Mac with the Ocean Spray video TikTok, and that song shot to the top of the charts after the guy was skateboarding with the Ocean Spray.
Some random guy makes a video where he's skateboarding and he's playing the song, was it Dreams by Fleetwood Mac? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, that song went to the top of the digital sales charts. Couple things surprised me, though. I figured digitally, most people buy single songs.
Yeah.
Remember when we were younger, the single 45 records? And then they also had the albums. If you were fans of the band, you'd buy an album, the whole album. But I thought with digital sales, what songs are like a dollar. I figure more people these days are buying songs instead of albums, but people are still buying albums digitally. And the Queen Greatest Hits album that came out in 1981 is the number one album last week. And that's it's pretty incredible.
So what does that say about new music today that doesn't sell that well? Why does it seem like it's always older classic rock that seems to top the charts or they use in movies and TV shows? You don't really see too many new bands.
There's some new music that's in the top 10 on iTunes. But there's also some of the stuff that came out years and years and years ago. That just tells me, I mean, if a song is really good when it comes out, I mean, it's always going to be good, right?
Right.
It's why wouldn't people from the next generation say that stuff is cool? And you would think the stuff that came out in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, that was really, I know a lot of people say, well, that's the best stuff. But imagine if they had digital sales in the 70s or the 80s. That means, what this means is that something would have come out in the 30s.
Right.
That was still selling in the 70s.
Right, so I doubt that people in the 50s and 60s were buying songs from the 20s and 30s.
No, they weren't.
And we talked about this maybe it was a few months ago. What songs today are they going to be playing 100 years from now? Do you think WAP is going to be one of those songs that still make the top of the charts 30, 40, 50 years from now?
I don't think so. I don't think the top 40 stuff lasts as long as the great rock stuff.
Right, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And you know, when we did talk about this before, I mean, I said, could you imagine turning on your radio 30 years from now and hearing a Black Sabbath song or hearing a Led Zeppelin song? Or why not?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're still going to be playing Led Zeppelin. We're still going to be playing Black Sabbath. We're still going to be playing Bon Jovi because the songs are good.
I just thought this was something pretty special. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And some people's minds are blown this morning because the people that make Ritz crackers said something very interesting about the way those crackers are made. I'm going to tell you about that next.
Also, you have a chance to win, coming up, $1,000 because we're making it rain on Bayou. All you have to do is listen for the cash keyword and text that cash keyword to 72 72881. Not our Bayou number, but the 72881. That's the number you texted to for your chance to win $1,000.
And that's coming up like now. Good luck winning that grand. From Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So, a video came out on TikTok that blew a lot of people's minds. You've had Ritz crackers, right? They're the circle crackers. And if you've ever noticed the edges around the circle, the edges of the cracker, they're perforated. And Ritz just put out a video showing why the edges of their crackers are perforated. It's to cut cheese. They put a piece of cheese down on a plate, and then they rolled the Ritz cracker over the piece of cheese, and it cut it.
So it's like the when you cut a pizza, that little circle deal, it's sort of like the perforated edges cuts through the cheese like a wheel, like if you roll
it. Yeah, yeah, if you just roll it across a piece of cheese.
So the cracker cuts the cheese.
Rich crackers cut cheese. Yes, Coleman. When people saw this video, they started freaking out. They had no idea. They just thought, they just made the edges of the cracker look unique. No, because, you know, I mean, what's the first thing you think of when you think of crackers or when you think of cheese? You know, cheese and crackers. And so when they made the Ritz crackers, they said, this is for people who enjoy cheese because they won't need a knife. They could just buy a piece of cheese and they could just cut the cheese with the cracker.
So how long have Ritz crackers been in production? How long have Ritz crackers been around?
A very long time. I don't have the exact year that they came out in front of me.
Because I wonder if when Ritz crackers first came out, did they know that? And that was like they knew that the edges were perforated to cut the cheese.
That's why they made the edges perforated.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder if people knew that then and we just lost that knowledge throughout the years or we're just now figuring that out today like nobody never knew.
One commenter, after he saw this video, wrote, "My life is a lie." That's how much his mind was blown. And then somebody commented, "That's not what they're for. You just made this up." No, they showed you on the video how the Ritz cracker, if you roll it over a piece of cheese, will cut the cheese.
Oh, this text says, serrated, not perforated. That's true. It's serrated edges, and that perforates the cheese, then you cut it.
All right, well.
You got the smartest texters in radio, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the text.
That's one of the things, why doesn't the Ritz cracker box come with instructions? That would have been a lot easier to know a long time ago. Sort of like how they say that hole when you buy a canned soda. You're supposed to flip the little ring, the little loop thing around that, and that holds your straw. You know what I'm talking about? When you open the soda can, then you take the little thing that you open it with and you put it over the little latch, and that's supposed to hold your straw. Did you know that one?
There's a little hole, yeah, in the top after you open the soda can.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff, products like that, where you figure something out, but you never really known what the purpose were. But it should come with instructions.
Yeah, well, use your Ritz cracker to cut the cheese. Yeah, go figure. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And it's another reason why you probably shouldn't do drugs. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time of our gig where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. I think I'm dumb. Wyoming man calls police to ask why he wasn't arrested. And then he got arrested. This happened in Gillette, Wyoming. A Wyoming man who asked a sheriff's dispatcher why he hadn't been arrested. He called the police.
911, what's your emergency?
He called the police and he said, why haven't you arrested me? He's a 62-year-old man in Campbell County, and it's the Campbell County Sheriff's Office that he called late last week to ask why he hadn't been arrested after deputies raided his house the previous day. Well, nobody had raided the man's house the previous day, and nobody was planning on raiding his house or arresting him. The dispatcher asked the man why you should be arrested. Why should you be arrested? And the man said, meth use.
I'm on meth.
So, I mean, the guy told him his name and what kind of car he was driving and where he lived and all that information. That's how the cops knew they didn't raid his house. And wouldn't you know, not that long after that phone call, a sheriff's deputy is driving down the road and who does he see? He sees the 62-year-old man. And he lit him up. He pulled his car over. And when the cops went up to his car, the man told the deputy that he had used methamphetamine a day and a half before and he was still high. So they gave him a field sobriety test, and he did poorly on that, and he was arrested for driving under the influence of a controlled substance.
All right, so when you first told me the story, I'm thinking that they arrested him because he called the police and asked to be arrested. So they just was like, nah, you know, it just happens to be a coincidence. He called the police, he thought his house was raided, and he thought, wait, you raided my house, but you didn't arrest me, which seems to be your problem. And the police were like, well, we didn't raid your house, sir, or whatever. Then he goes driving, and they just happen to light him up and arrest him after did they recognize his car?
They recognized the car. Because he told them who he was, said my address, and this is the type of car I drive. Coleman, the problem with this guy is he did too much meth. And
I think if you do meth in general, you're doing too much meth. There's no proper quantity of meth anyone is supposed to use.
No, methamphetamine, not cool. And I've heard of, you know, hardcore drugs making people paranoid, but that's not really paranoid. You just start freaking out and you call the cops and say, why didn't you arrest me?
So it makes me wonder, did somebody come trash his house looking for meth, or he got so high he trashed his own house and he thought the cops trashed his house, or his house wasn't trashed at all. He just thought it was trashed because of his meth imagination.
I think the last thing you just said.
Oh, the meth imagination. He imagined that his house was raided.
He called the cops and say, why didn't you arrest me when you raided my house? The cops asked him who he was, and the cops looked at the sheet. Well, the houses they've raided recently, and his name wasn't on there. His address wasn't on there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. We didn't get around to raiding your house, but if you would like us to, we could come raid it right now, if it makes you feel better.
Well, they didn't need to do that because they just happened to see him driving not that long after he called them to ask them why he wasn't arrested.
At least he has an honest spirit about himself. He had a conscience. He was like, whoa, what am I still doing to free man? You were supposed to bust me, dudes. Your jobs.
What's wrong with you guys? I'm high on meth. Why am I still free? Well, the Wyoming man who called the police to ask them why he wasn't arrested and then got arrested not that long after making that phone call. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And that should also be a public service announcement about the effects of methamphetamine. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.